Hello, welcome to 2023 and the Written World Podcast. I'm gonna hate myself for saying it like that when I listen later. Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Izzy, and today we're gonna talk about number 15 on our 2022 reading challenge. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit on our year-end wrap-up episode that just came out. But today we're going to talk about the books that we bought each other.
Woohoo! We kind of talked about this already, but it was so fun to, like, just send a little package in the mail with a little note, and just, like, get a little surprise, especially because it's, like, I don't know, at that time of year I was ordering so many things for other people, and I was like, wait, this one's for me, and I don't know what it is. So that was fun. So, I'm gonna go first, and the book that Izzy got for me is The Past is Red by Catherine M. Valente. And Izzy has already read this book, so feel free to weigh in with your opinions too.
Sure, I definitely will, but I'm gonna leave it mostly to you, as it was your gift, or it was my gift to you.
Okay, so first off, her writing style is very recognizable, and when I was reading reviews of Space Opera when we did that, a lot of people said that, but I hadn't read anything else by her, so I was like, okay, well, cool. But it's beyond just like the kind of layers upon layers of adjectives and like analogies and things. I don't know, it's just like the way she structures sentences and like the strong sense of voice in that. In it, and like that was evident in this immediately. Tetley's voice is very strong and really kind of is the base of what this novel is. So that being said, I feel like this is not a super plot heavy novel. There's things going on, but it's really about the voice and the person and like the kind of overall metaphor of the whole piece. So, okay, I guess I should say what it's about. So, The Past is... I kind of really forgot about that part. The Past is Red is about a future in which there is no more dry land left on planet Earth and people live on floating patches of garbage. So, like, super compelling idea. And I feel like the whole novel is, like, kind of just an extended meditation on this idea. Almost. Which I was into. I really like whenever I'm reading something that's like sci-fi or apocalyptic or just like in not our world. I guess I'm very interested in like how the world works and everything. And sometimes I get annoyed when the plot comes in and like interrupts that. I'm like, but no, but what about like school or like what if, do people get married there or you know, like how do they do this or this? And this book didn't really leave anything to the imagination. Like, it really went through all of those world structures and stuff. And so, like, I feel like that's something I crave in a lot of books. I never, ever see it. So it makes me wonder how the author's brain works and, like, what she likes to read. Because I don't know. I just wonder about someone who wrote this, what they're interested in reading. But I really like that about it. And do you want to chime in at all right now?
Yeah, I think that one of the really unique things about Valente's writing is that, like, exposition and characterization are so interwoven with each other that it doesn't feel like just, like, straight exposition where it's like, oh, this is the way the world is. It feels very, like, intertwined with who the character is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially this character who loves the place so much.
Absolutely. I think that, like, one of my favorite parts is in the first couple of pages, you find out that how people in Garbage Land get their name is they go on this adventure and the first, like, mean thing someone yells at them becomes their name. And, like, that really sets the tone for the entire novel. And it's not, like, it's not portrayed that it's a bad thing, but rather that's like, oh, this is the way the world is. And it's like unique and quirky in a way that makes something
kind of... Yeah, it's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, it makes something kind of horrible into something kind of cute and fun. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I should say this book follows specifically a woman named Tetley as she navigates this world, which she loves. She loves Garbage Town, which is her part of her garbage patch where she lives. Yeah, and her voice is just so distinctive and, like, ceaselessly optimistic. Like, all the terrible things that have happened to the world and anything bad that happens to her, the voice is just, it's always looking up. I guess I kind of, like, asked for this because I'm always wanting just, like, world building without plot, but I did kind of feel like I wasn't really hooked in very much. Like, the descriptions of how the world works were interesting enough to me that I did keep reading because I was curious, but I didn't really feel, like, compelled until, like, the last 25-ish pages. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely felt like this was something that I kept reading because I enjoyed the style and, like, the author's ability to craft voice and world is incredible. But you are right that there wasn't, like, a plot point or, like, something that really was like, I have to keep reading to find this thing out, or I'm really compelled to pick this up because I'm like, I have to know what happens next. It wasn't really like that, but that also made it kind of more a chill read or something mm-hmm. that felt like, oh, I'm just reading this to enjoy this aspect of it. And that's, like, relaxing and comforting in a way.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to you about liking things like that, either, like, right before or right after you sent this to me, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is just because I'm not very used to, maybe this is me not, exercising my brain enough in this way, or in general, but I found the time jumps, like, very confusing. And I read most of this book, I listened to most of it as an audiobook, but then I was, like, not comprehending everything, so I went back and, like, started completely over and read the whole thing again to, like, 75%, like, I'd done 75% as an audiobook, and then I read through the whole thing, like, in the physical book, and I still found it confusing. Did you?
Not really, actually, no.
I just didn't, there was, like, nothing, I thought maybe when I was listening to it, like, I was missing something that indicated the time difference, but I was confused about it, and I was confused about, like, a couple of the characters who, I don't know, I wasn't sure, like, what their role really was, and they just kind of, like, seemed to come and then disappear. Oh, I did really want to share what was my favorite line in this book. I just keep thinking about it. And so, okay, so Tetley, the main character, is at one point married, and she basically says not much about this except that I used to be married and now I'm not. And about being married, she says, being married was a good time, mostly, like a party where everyone else has gone home and it's just the two of you and the night left sparkling. But then, sooner or later, one of you has to go home, too. There are some things you just can't ever get back. Years, gannet birds, husbands, Antarctica. And I love that whole paragraph, like, as a paragraph, but then I really love the, like, a party where everyone else has gone home and it's just the two of you and the night left sparkling. I feel like, I think a line hasn't stood out to me like that in a book for a long time.
It's really beautiful.
Anything else you want to say about this one?
Yeah, I think originally the first part was its own short story that was published.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot to mention that.
And then Catherine Valente was like, another part, and then made it a novella. It's cool. I'm sure it's more detailed and nuanced than that. I'm pretty sure there was, like, an introduction in the book that explained it, but yeah.
You'll have to read it to find out. Mm-hmm. All right, do you want to go into yours?
Sure. I read, Kylie got me, How to Be Eaten by Maria Edelman. Oh my gosh. Okay, I tore through this book like a maniac, which is very rare for me. In books, I feel like I'm very specific, so when I really enjoy something and, like, can't put it down, it's kind of a rare thing for me. Even if I love a book, sometimes I still will have, like, trouble picking it up and reading it. But, yeah. So, this book is basically about fairy tale characters that are in a support group discussing their, like, real world traumas that have also kind of have a fantastical bent. And holy shit. I don't really know how to describe this book without spoiling things, because I do think a lot of the novel is you discovering these intricacies as the characters like work through their own traumas, so not everything is apparent to you immediately, which is one of the things that I loved about it, was that I was just constantly going like, okay, but what about this, what about this, and continuing to ask more about each of their stories. Each section is broken up into the different characters who are at the support groups, like them telling their stories. So it alternates between different first persons, which I thought was really interesting. I love when people play with point of view. It's my favorite thing. Like, it follows Gretel from Hansel and Gretel. It follows Ruby, who is, like, Little Red Riding Hood, among others. It also plays with this idea that the fairy tale isn't necessarily something archaic or, like, it's not just the repeatable story, like, it is also the ways in which, like, patriarchal modes are furthered through those repeatable stories, and how what that looks like in, like, a modern-day fairy tale. So there's also the fairy tale of like, the bachelor, the bachelorette, which is really cool to explore. So I can't say much more about it, because it is very much about you reading it and experiencing it with the characters, and then there's like a twist at the end that I talked a little bit about last time that I was proud of myself for discovering, but early on, not too early on, I think it was just very well set up.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I loved it so much. I sat in a cafe with my friend once and like was reading it for like 2 hours, just like, and then I spent days of my winter break just reading it.
I love that kind of thing. Like, you just, like, the purpose of the outing is to read.
Yeah.
Or, like, you, I don't know. So I have it. I have it on Libby, and I'm, like, a quarter of the way into it. But I am so into it. Like, it really is so engaging, and I guess it's just, like, there's enough of that familiarity, like, you know enough about the characters to be like, okay, how are they gonna do this? And that's why adaptations are fun in the first place, I guess. But, no, it is so gripping, and I didn't, like, it starts off with, I don't think this isn't a spoiler, but it starts off with, like, the Bluebeard, spin on that, and I didn't know that fairy tale, so like I had to, luckily that one was obvious enough I could be like, okay, it's this one, but I know I don't know that one, so I'll look it up. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I didn't know that fairy tale either, and I also didn't look, like, I knew of it and I'm sure that I've read it before, but I didn't look it up either, and I was like, I'm just gonna go with it, and I was very pleased.
I read just, like, a very brief, like, you know, like, like this is what the fairy tale is. Like, if it was Little Red Riding Hood, it would be, like, a girl goes to her grandmother, gets eaten by a wolf. Like, I read that kind of thing about it, which was, like, enough to give me the gist and stuff. But, oh, so it was so interesting. I'm very excited to keep reading it. I really hope my hold doesn't run out while I'm still reading it, because I will be upset, because there's a lot of people waiting for it, and I can't find it at another library. So I've been, like, trying to get through it, but it is so engaging and so fun, and yay, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I loved it so much. Definitely, anyone who is looking to read it, like, trigger warnings for, like, kidnapping and assault and many other difficult, topics for people who have experienced those things. Just protect yourself and be wary when going into reading it.
For sure, yeah. Do you want to tell about what we're going to read next?
Yes! Okay, next we're going to read The Mercies by Kieran Millwood Hargrave. And I think that I'm just going to read the back of the book and not the Goodreads thing. Anyway, so, this book, Finnmark, Norway, 1617, 20-year-old Marin Mugsdatter stands on the craggy coast, watching the skies break into a sudden and reckless storm, All 40 of the village's men are at sea, including Marin's father and brother, and all 40 are drowned in the otherworldly disaster. For the women left behind, survival means defying the strict rules of the island. They fish, hunt, and butcher reindeer, which they never did while the men were alive. But the foundation of this new feminine frontier begins to crack with the arrival of Absalom Cornet, a man sent from Scotland to root out alleged witchcraft. Cornet brings with him the threat of danger and a pretty young Norwegian wife named Ursa. As Marin and Ursa are drawn to one another in ways that surprise them both, the island begins to close in on them, with Absalom's iron rule threatening its very existence. Also, it sounds queer, which I did not realize earlier, and now I'm even more excited.
Oh, yeah. Where did you find out about this book?
I found out about this book in an indie bookshop in Northern California. I don't remember what town it was in. It was in a seaside town. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, that looks really good. But I was already buying other books, so I didn't get it. And then I got it for Christmas that year.
So you found it organically.
Mm-hmm.
In the most wholesome way.
I know, it was really cute. And then I kept looking for it for, like, so long and could never find it anywhere. So then I finally just asked for it.
That's all very picturesque, that whole story of how you found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about this one. Izzy gave me, like, 5 choices. And I chose 2 that were about witches. So
hi.
That's how we're starting off this year.
All right. Are you reading anything currently?
Yes. Well, so I'm reading How to Eden. And I'm also reading on audiobook. I don't have any, like, I haven't finished anything yet this year. Oh, and then I'm reading Severance by Ling Ma, and I'm only on chapter 2, so I'm just getting started on that one, but it's very, very engaging so far. What about you?
I just finished Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. And currently I'm reading 3 Axes to Fall by Sam Sykes.
Do you know how many books you read in 2022?
I do. 1 second.
We're such nerds. Look at us with our little lists.
I know. It's... Currently, I'm doing a 2023 book challenge that I got from my favorite bookstore in San Diego, which is called Mysterious Galaxy. They sell, like, exclusively sci-fi, fantasy, horror, mystery, and romance novels, which is really fucking great. You can buy, like, other novels from them, but you have to order them. But that's what they have in store. And I love them. So I have, like, this little list that has, like, a check off for each of their challenges. They have 2 challenges. One's harder and one's easier. I'm doing the easier one first. But I'm trying to pick books that I already have on my shelf. So that's fun. Anyway, you asked me what I read, how many books I read last year. I got to 44. The goal was 50. But we got to 44.
So I got to 58. But there are only, and I counted, there are only 10, like, physical books in there. Everything else was audiobooks. So, like, not that I don't consider audiobooks actual reading, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't have this podcast. But it's different. And I also, it's just, like, a different experience listening to an audiobook versus reading. And I'm also trying to, like, I feel like it would probably be a good thing for me to, like, take in less content in that way. Like, I feel like I shouldn't listen to podcasts and books for 8 hours a day. I feel like maybe that's not really great for me. So I've been listening to more music, and I'm hoping to read... My goal is just to read more than 10 physical books this year. So, nothing crazy, but trying to change those ratios. Just for funsies. Also, I like reading physical books, and I need to catch more, and... I don't know, it's just, like, a more, like, meditative experience. But also I wanted to ask, so on that reading challenge, is it, like, how specific is it? Like, what kind of things are on the...
Sure, it's not super specific. Let me see. So, like, the first one is, like, a book with M in the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was, like...
Go ahead.
Like, if it was closely tied to, like, the... specific genres that they have there.
No, not really. There's a couple that are like a book with zombies or a book with a dragon on the cover, but that's about as far as it goes. Or like a book with a map.
Okay.
But there's a lot of like ones that are pretty genreless, like a book published in 2023, a staff pick, like a book with a mostly purple cover, stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, that is fun.
Yeah,
it's
I think
scavenger hunt.
It is. It's really cute. I like went did a little scavenger hunt through my bookshelf to find.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and it's also getting me to read books that I've had for a long time or that I've bought recently. So
that is cool. I like that. Like a especially the bookstore is running it, and it's not like buy these books because we sell them. It's like you can do it with what you already have.
Yeah. Well, I added that element to it. Because I bought too many, I have too many books I haven't read.
That's fair. But just that, like, it's not prescriptively things you have to buy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
That's cool. Well, I'm excited to see how this goes for us.
Yeah, me too.
But I think that's all for now. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Written World Podcast.
Farewell.